There are some quite blunt and pretty challenging words from John the Baptist in our readings. He confronts us with a very straightforward teaching that's easy to understand but hard to do. But what do we know about John the Baptist? Well, here's some fun facts I'll share. John, known as Yahya in Arabic, is praised by Muslims as well. He is one of 25 prophets mentioned in the Quran, and it is said that anyone who denounces John also denounces Islam. In Matthew 11, verse 11, Jesus says, "I assure you that John the Baptist is greater than anyone who has ever lived." Pretty cool. Now today, we might call a person crazy if they refused to cut their hair, wore camel skin, and ate locusts and wild honey in the wilderness. By the way, that's not a dish I've seen in any local restaurant. So, not popular. In John the Baptist's day, he was called a Nazarite. A Nazarite was a person who gave up certain things in order to commune with God in a state of holiness. Nazarites didn't cut their hair, didn't drink alcohol, and wouldn't touch dead bodies, among other things. And sometimes they would separate themselves from other people in order to eliminate any distractions. Most Jews only took a Nazarite vow for a set period of time, usually between 30 to 100 days. But there were at least three Nazarites in Scripture who were dedicated from birth: Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist. John clearly didn't care what anyone thought of him, even when those others had great power. When Herod, Herod Antipas, the ruler, Roman ruler of Galilee, or Tetrarch if you like, took his brother's wife as his own, John the Baptist spoke out against it, and eventually it got him killed. I think it would be very uncomfortable living with this man, this no time for fools man, as the people, just ordinary, everyday people like you and I, approached for baptism. What they probably thought was just a washing ritual. You know, dip me in water and say a prayer so I can get back to living the way I want. They were so comfortable and self-assured in their entitlement. But John insulted them. He called them snakes or a brood of vipers and said that they are nothing without repentance. John was warning them about their self-deception. They claimed they were descendants of Abraham. Entitlement. John replied, "God can make these stones descendants of Abraham. You're not special." John's message was clear. Renewal starts with repentance. The need to turn away from their old ways and commit to living a life that pleases God. This renewal is not just about saying sorry for our mistakes, but making a real effort to change behaviours and attitudes. And John's message was also that poverty is not the fault of the poor, and that the earth produces enough to feed and clothe everyone. He called on the wealthy and the comfortable to treat their wealth as being related to their repentance. His message was that economic issues are spiritual issues, and that to ignore God's commands to practice social and economic justice, if we ignore that, we can't claim to love our neighbours. And perhaps surprisingly, amongst John's strong teaching, That's very joyful, Rowena, thank you. That got your attention back, that's great. So perhaps surprisingly, John's strong teaching leads us back on a path to joy. I was reading about how people who decluttered and embraced a minimalist approach to life, Marie Kondo. Yeah, a lot of people. Marie Kondo. A lot of people who embraced that were putting out how great they felt, how weightless. That owning, people who decluttered and embraced a minimalist approach, owning the least amount of clothing, tech, tools, cooking items, experienced a feeling of freedom and a weightlessness in their spirit, perhaps generating a sense of joy. So how else can we describe joy? Some sources of joy in the Bible include beautiful and good things of life, good bottles of wine, weddings, children, the perfume of flowers and trees, good friends. Joy is a deeper emotion than happiness and comes from within, from a sense of purpose and meaning. In Philippians 4:4-7, Paul encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always. He reminds us that our joy comes from knowing God and trusting in his plans and acting accordingly. Paul advises us to be gentle with others, not worry about anything. Instead, that we should pray and give thanks to God in every situation. The very act of sharing things is also what sets us free of them. Gaining more stuff is some kind of inverse proportion to real freedom and joy. When we bring our concerns to God in prayer, he gives us peace. This peace is beyond our understanding, and it guards hearts and minds. True joy comes from knowing that God is in control and that he cares for us. Renewal and joy are possible for everyone who seeks them. By repenting and tuning into God, we can experience true transformation. And by trusting in his plans and rejoicing in his presence, we can find lasting joy.